Good morning, everyone. It's 9:30 and welcome to this third open floor hearing. Can everybody hear me? Thank you. My name is Leslie Coffey. I'm a chartered town planner and I've been appointed as the lead member of the panel that comprises the examining authority to examine the application for development consent for a nationally significant infrastructure project made by Highways England. The applications for the construction of a continuous dual carriageway on the A303 linking the Podymore roundabout and the Sparkford bypass. It falls to be considered as a nationally significant infrastructure project under the regime covered by the Planning Act 2008. I'll now ask my fellow panel member to introduce himself.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Jackson, and I'm also a Chartered Town Planner, but I'm also a member of the Chartered Management Institute.
Okay. I'll also introduce my colleagues from the Planning Inspectorate who are working with us on this examination. Michelle Gregory, to my right, is the case manager, and she leads the PINS case team for this application. And Eleanor Church at the back of the room is the case officer. And as I said at previous hearings, if you've got any queries or issues you need to raise, can they be directed to them rather than us? Thank you. An agenda for this hearing was published on the 7th of May. In terms of social networking, if any individual group or organisation intends to use social media to report, film or record any part of the hearing, you're permitted to do so, but could you do so responsibly and with consideration for other parties? It must not be misused or be disruptive. You also need to be aware that no individually recorded items can be relied on as evidence by any party or used as submissions. So is there anyone who doesn't wish to be filmed or recorded? Thank you. Just a reminder to anyone who may be filming or recording that you are subject to the General Data Protection Regulations and it's your responsibility to make sure you comply. The Planning Inspectorate won't be providing any written note of this hearing. Recording is being made and will be available on the Planning Inspectorate website documents page for this project. This is to ensure that any member of the public who's interested in the application and examination can find out what's happened and whether they're able to attend, even if they're unable to attend the meeting. When you're speaking, could you use the microphones at the tables and ensure that yours is switched on before you speak? And each time you speak, can you identify yourself and the organisation you represent? Because that will make it easier to follow the audio recording later. You need to be aware that if you take part in the hearing, that your comments will be recorded and the recording will be published and retained, usually for a period of 5 years from the date of the Secretary of State's decision. The Planning Inspectorate is subject to the General Data Protection Regulations, and it's very unlikely that we'll ask you to put sensitive personal information into the public domain, and we'd encourage you not to do so. If for any reason you feel it's necessary for you to refer to such information, we'd encourage you to speak to our case team in the first instance, and then we can explore whether there's another way in which you could submit such information. Just got a few general matters about the hearing. As I've already mentioned, if you've got any questions outside the scope of the hearing itself, then if they could be addressed to Michelle Gregory or Eleanor Church, and I'd ask you not to speak directly to us in the interests of fairness and impartiality. All interested parties who wish to make oral representations indicated that they wish to at an open floor hearing have been invited to attend. And participation is subject to our power to control the hearing. We've set a speaking guide of about 10 minutes per submission. It's just to ensure that everybody gets a chance to speak if necessary. If I've got any questions that arise during your submission, or I put questions to the applicant during your submission, I'll stop the clock, and the time spent responding to these will not count against your speaking time. Just for the benefit of anybody who wasn't here yesterday, I'd just like to bring to your attention that the applicant has submitted and we've accepted a request for a non-material change to the application. There's three elements to the change. The first are works within the Hazelgrove House registered park and garden. They involve moving pond 5 and alterations to the access. The second is the deletion of the Podymore turning head. And the third is deletion of a footpath to the east of Traits Lane and to the west of Gasson Lane. The most southerly of the two proposed footpaths has been deleted. We're happy to hear comments on that at this hearing, but we appreciate that that may not be possible because people haven't had the opportunity to look at the change and consider the implications. So we've adjusted the timetable to accommodate this change. Any comments should be submitted by deadline 7, which is the 30th of May. So this hearing's an open floor hearing and it doesn't have a subject matter controlled agenda, and it means that you can bring up any matter arising from the application, provided it's important and relevant to the decision taken under the Planning Act. If you bring up matters that aren't important and relevant, I may interject and explain this and ask you to move on. But in general terms, your time at this hearing is your own to say what you wish. The convention that's evolved at open floor hearings is to hear from anyone who's written in and requested to be heard first, and then hear other parties after that. And I will invite parties to speak in the order on our list. I'll return to that list in a moment. If you've already made a point in writing or at a previous hearing, we'll have already made a note of it, so it's not necessary for you to repeat it here. So I'll just hand over to my colleague who will check who wishes to speak.
The people who we have got, and this is just in the order they happen to be on my list, are Brian Norman from Queen Canal Parish Council. Nope, not here. Larry Piper from Spartford Parish Council. Nope. Philip Robertson from South Somerset District Council. He's here but doesn't move. Les Stevens from West Cowell Parish Council. Trevor Tuck from Spartford Parish Council. Alan Walton from Long Hazel Park. Joe Wilkins from South Somerset District Council. Fine. Phil Farrar. I've just got the name. Sarah Bucks from South Somerset Brothers Association. M. Crawford. Here, thank you.
That's fine.
But there's the list of all those people who we have got who wish to do here. John Richington, there are two other people who we thought might be here. Joy and Victor Whittington. Fine. And a Mr. Green.
I think they were the people that requested the hearing, weren't they? So, so we'll just move through that list. If you actually don't wish to speak and it's just been recorded incorrectly, that's fine. But we'll start. I just need to add really that we want to complete the hearing by about 10:30 because, as you're aware, we've got a further issue-specific hearing due to commence at 11, but I don't think there's going to be any issue in us completing it at that time. And once we've finished the business, we will close this hearing. Okay.
For those who wish to speak, shall we start with Sparkford Parish Council? I'm going to time 10 minutes as previously indicated, and I'll tell you when you've got a minute to go. Okay, if you go that long. Okay. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. I'm rather concerned, and so are my fellow councillors, in consultation with Larry Piper last night. Unfortunately, he's not here this morning, about the comments made by the applicant about marginal benefits. We have obviously had the benefit of a very good link road between our local communities, being the existing A303. With their refusal to consider the parallel road and the lack of consultation and transparency, to try and keep our local communities and also our local businesses together, we find totally unacceptable. All our businesses along the A303 corridor rely on traffic. They haven't got a village community around them, such as the bakery, such as Matea Diner, the services at Camel Hill. And even when you come into the actual village of Sparkford with Sparkford Services, and we've said previously there's over 100 employees at Sparkford Services, it is important that proper consideration is given by the applicant on how the effect of not having a parallel road and looking at the access off of the new dual carriageway will be signed to try and keep these businesses viable. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Does the applicant wish to comment? No. I think what we'll do, we'll hear from everybody and then give you a chance to make any comments that you wish at the end. Okay.
West Camel Parish Council, is there anything you wish to say specifically separately?
Thank you. It's really just to echo Trevor's comments, and as was said yesterday, we obviously do not understand the reasoning of Highways England to dismiss the parallel road at a very, very early stage, and there's certainly no information in the public domain that would allow us to understand how that decision was arrived at, nor to actually critique that decision. We find that wholly unacceptable.
Mr. Walton, could you?
Alan Walton, Long Hazel Park and Long Hazel Lodges Limited. I did submit in writing my final submissions, which you probably have, dated the 26th of April this year.
We do have those.
I don't want to repeat any of that really, but just to emphasise, on page 1, paragraph 2. I have done some research on the internet about the noise, traffic noise affecting health, which is a matter I know you've approached before in your inquiry. There is a comment there by Dr. Yu Tong Samuel Kai, Imperial College London. There's consistent evidence, he says, that sustained noise from a busy road can affect human health more dramatically than being exposed to exhaust fumes. He found long-term exposure to traffic noise can modify blood biochemistry and even lead to heart attacks. And there's an article from WHO about the recommended levels, which you know about. We at Long Hazel Park are likely to be subjected to levels of about 55 decibels.
Excuse me for a minute, gentlemen. Sorry, could you...
I think it's come out during the process of this hearing that we will be subject to 55 or thereabouts decibels. That's on the what we call the amenity spaces. And still, in answer to the written questions, The applicant is saying they're not going to carry out any noise mitigation for us. And I have posed the question, if they did put forward any mitigation, what would it be? Because I've also researched what effect a proper fence in place would do for us, and it would certainly mitigate that noise considerably. And I've asked the chair to put to the applicants, if we said you needed to put up a barrier, what would you do and how would it affect the noise in Long Hazel Park? And that's a question I posed in my my statement. I hope you might take note of that. Another point arising is that I agree with Mr. Tuck entirely. We've been in business for 22 years in Sparkford, and our business attracts people into the community to spend their money, to keep the help, not say keep them, but help keep those businesses going. And we do rely on the fact that we have those businesses to attract our customers, because they want to know, what have you got in your village? Where can we get this? Where can we get that? What amenities do you have locally? An important factor, which I think hasn't been mentioned yet, is that West Camel Hill service station has a large capacity for selling LPG auto gas. There isn't anyone else that I know of in this area that does the same. There are a lot of customers, I'm sure locally, who have vehicles adapted to run on LPG gas. I know a lot of the vehicles we have in, especially the American-based ones, run on LPG as an alternative to petrol. And they also have onboard storage tanks where they need it to supply their heating and their cooking. And I'm talking of big motorhomes and so on, German ones and American-style ones. So if that facility was lost, if that business dried up, then in time we would see a loss of that facility for our customers and for the local community, because there is in Yeovil a company that specifically converts petrol cars to LPG, especially the older polluting vehicles. It is a relatively green fuel, and I'm sure a lot of motorists travelling on the A303 have an app or something on their mobile where they can see where they can get it. And if they can't successfully get off the A303 to get it and then get back on the A303, they would obviously spend their money out of the area. So I also support the parallel road and possibly some kind of slip road so that any vehicles coming off the A303 to Sparkford can get back on again and also use the services. Now, I know the bakery is a bit isolated from us, but nevertheless, that bakery supplies the local post office with its bread, and it also provides a place where customers can go and buy it, especially from the mobile home park at West Camel, which is an easy walk for them. And our customers also use it because they're looking for fresh bread and pastries when they come. So I would also think that is another reason why the parallel road should be kept open, to facilitate everybody in our community to reach the facilities which are a bit on the outskirts. But, you know, we don't have those facilities in our village. The other point is that no other service station in our village, i.e. the Hazel Grove, could accommodate such a big gas tank. Because I know all about LPG regulations and how they have to be sited and protected. And they just haven't got the facility or the room or would comply with the regulations to have such an enormous gas tank. I think it's probably, I would think, about an 8-ton tank, which is from the distance would be from me to where you're sitting now in length, possibly the height of this room, and about that section there in size, and it's in a compound. I'm sure you've seen it when you've been up there. The other point I'd like to mention is that traffic using Sparkford High Street is going to increase, and with it will increase the traffic noise. So from our point of view as a local business, we will be trapped between two sources of traffic noise. And so will the High Street residents as well. And again, there isn't, as far as I can see, any think, put forward by the applicant to mitigate that traffic noise for both sections of road that we're in the middle of, the A303 and the A359. That could be reduced by some noise reduction surface, for example, and also by a lower speed. That's the Spartford High Street I'm talking about now, the A359. But again, I did raise a question, it's never been answered really, about the so-called 500-metre extent of the surfacing from Hazel Grove roundabout of the A303 going east. Where does it exactly end, and how many lanes will be surfaced with this particular surface cover? We still don't know that, and how is it going to be effective in reducing traffic noise especially for Long Hazel Park? I think I would also mention that our customers also use Hazel Grove School. They attend functions there. They have annual functions such as a military tattoo. The Royal Navy use it for their huge summer ball, and we have guests who stay and go there, and they often go on foot if they can. And the lighting, that's been dealt with, I know, but bearing in mind that especially during the winter months, it's dark by 4 o'clock, 4:30, and it doesn't get light until about 8 a.m. That's in the deep winter. There will be an increase in residents in our village for the new housing, and I'm sure some will be attending Hazel Grove School, and they take children from the age of about 2.5. So it is important that there is some lighting. And I would ask that again be considered for people using the facilities, not only the people in cars, but people riding on bicycles and so on. I did say previously in our case that we would support the layout of the roundabout, but I don't think we can now, having heard all the final information. We would personally like to see the parallel road retained, or some kind of slip road which serves the services so that traffic can come into the village from the east and go back out onto the A303, having used the services. And we would particularly like to see some traffic calming in the high street, and once again some noise reduction as it affects our business. And that would be all I need to say.
Thank you.
Mr. Bolton, you say that you previously thought you could support the layout of the Hazel Grove roundabout, and now you can't. What's the reason for that?
Sorry, I'm Alan Walton, Long Hazel Park. The main reason is that I have given a lot of thought to the parallel road, and I've also given a lot of thought to the loss of business it is likely to endure to us and the village from passing trade coming from the west to the east, and the effects of the traffic having to leave the A303 on the A359 slip road and come back into the High Street again to facilitate the services in the village. The scheme itself will be the direct cause of a possible increase in that traffic if that happens, but I think it won't happen. I think that passing trade will move on to the next convenient settlement to get their services dealt with. So I can see a dive in our business takings, because how we work is that people come in to us usually on a Friday. They go to Cornwall or Devon and they come back in the following week. They don't have to book, they just call in and see if we've got space. But my view is that they won't call in, they'll carry on. If they can't just conveniently come off the A303 straight to us, they will probably carry on to the next place in Salisbury or somewhere further up the line, and we will lose that business, and the community will lose that business as well. I've talked to one or two customers who come in regularly, and they feel that is a pain in the neck to actually pass the village and come back in another mile or so just to stay for the night. They might as well carry on for another 20-30 miles and find somewhere else. that's their philosophy. But the other point is that we feel that the parallel road would allow our customers to access other services that we are offering them on our internet site, and then be able to get back to us safely without having to engage going on to the A303. That's if those services will still exist. And as soon as they don't exist, we're offering less. Our competitors, and there are lots of campsites and things piling up all over the place now. Farmers are doing it, and even in some cases, I'm sure one day perhaps the Haynes Museum will do the same. They've tried it and they failed, but they might do it again. That those customers will find other sites out of the district where there are more facilities, and they haven't got to engage in all these conundrums of going off slip roads and into cul-de-sacs and so on, towing caravans, or some have got big motorhomes with cars behind. They want somewhere where they can come in and go out and go. They don't want to be messed about putting in pockets and so on, trying to turn around, etc. And that's just my view, but I think that is likely.
Okay, that's helpful. I've just got one more point I just want to clarify really with you. There's been discussion about mitigation, and you've asked for traffic calming. Very often that can take the form of speed bumps or chicanes, you know, narrowing on the road widths. Given that a number of your customers will either be in the motorhomes, like you've just suggested, or towing caravans, how is that likely, if should there be road narrowings or speed humps, how is that likely to impact on your customers?
I think it will, because not only do we have those kind of customers, but we do have, on average, a dozen or so transporters come in, articulated ones that carry vehicles, because they're either bringing someone to us who's broken down, or they're bringing someone to us for storage, or to collect someone who's broken down. And, for example, we had one come in the other day that came from Spain with a motorhome on it that was brought up from Spain, and it was left with us for a few days as a customer while they arranged to have it repaired before it could be moved on, because they stayed with us for 6 weeks last year. They went to Spain touring. It broke down. They were waiting to move into a new house, so we agreed to have it back. But it was one of these articulated things that had a Rolls Royce on there and another car, which were going somewhere else. And that came in. We could turn it around, and it left it. But when we get our mobile home park going, we're going to have convoy sectionals with these.
Sorry, I think maybe my question wasn't precise enough, Mr. Walton.
Right, yes.
What I wanted to know was that if there were to be narrowings in the width of Spartford High Street or speed humps, would that affect the ability of these larger vehicles that access your site?
I don't think speed humps will, because normally we would say perhaps the speed hump should have a channel in the middle so that the towing operator doesn't get damaged as it goes over it. But chicanes, I think, are likely to be a difficulty. And I think the object would be to try and keep that traffic flowing through the high street. I've said before that any obstacle in the way, including parked cars, which we get now, quite a few, is going to stop that traffic, and it's going to back up, and it's going to be frustrating. For example, outside where we are, we have four or five cars who park every night now. If we overtake those cars and want to turn right, traffic behind us, unless you give a hand signal, they think you're just overtaking those cars. And if you want to go, they'll try and hit you out the back if they think you're all going to be going on, but you're not. So I would like to see some kind of a clear way through there. The footpaths are too narrow for people to walk along on the opposite side of the road. And right down the middle of the road is a chevron, I call it a chevron design of white lining, that in effect restricts the carriageways, and there's almost a third carriageway in the middle which has got white lines down it. Now, I would have thought that could have been done away with. The footpath could be made wider, and the traffic could be, there could be no parking through there, but the speed limit could be reduced. And that would still give traffic the opportunity to enter all the different roads off the high street. Because if you start putting in, say, like you have at Queen Camel, a chicane and the traffic slows and stops and waits for the preference to the oncoming traffic, that could be outside somebody's drive in the high street. It's a small, the high street is short, lots of road to leave off onto it. And I think that
okay, but what I was trying to understand was whether there was any conflict between traffic calming, which is one thing that you're advocating, and the need to access your business. So I think I understand your position that there could, it depends on the what form any traffic calming takes.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Walton. Is there anything different, anything additional you want to add?
I don't think so, ma'am. No, thank you.
Thanks for your time, Mr. Walton.
Is there anybody else here who wishes to speak? Because I think we've got... Ms. Buck, do you wish to come forward with him, please?
Thank you. Sarah Buck, South Somerset Bridleway Association. I've got several points, and I will put them in for deadline 7. One I'm concerned about is the definition of a non-motorised user route, and I do want to make sure it includes equestrians and doesn't end up as a footpath and cycleway, as some of them do. So I'd really like to see the NMU routes well defined. The MOD land, the British Horse Society is pursuing our thoughts with the MOD. So can we please make sure that that isn't considered completely dead yet? We have asked for it to be expedited, and we have said we'll take it further, but we do want that bridleway through the MOD land.
Okay, so long as you're aware, we're under a duty to close the examination on the 12th of June. We can't close it on the 13th or anything. We've got no flexibility there.
Okay. I appreciate that, and they have said that they'll expedite it. So the MOD moves at its own pace. Please don't consider it dead yet and cancel it. There is a footpath alongside Wayne's Diner on the western side of Wayne's Diner going south from Wayne's Diner, which will connect up with the local roads. I think it's outside the red line, but if not, could we consider putting that in to upgrade it to a bridleway? There's a conversation about the bridleway route off the downhead link to a non-motorised user route. And I've talked to Mr. Setters about that, and we can deal with the gradient at the time. It's not going to be an issue that can't be solved easily. The Hazelgrove roundabout, yesterday Highways England said that there wasn't sufficient demand in order to put an unmotorised user route around the southwest side, a two-way route. I'd be really grateful if someone would tell me how much would be enough. You know, if it's one horse, it's maybe insufficient. If it's a million, it will be sufficient. Can somebody give me the number or the range in between, please? In the final decision letter, or however you're going to term it, can any routes that have been promised have some time limit and make sure they're installed and put on the definitive map? We're still arguing about the stop side road orders from 96, which were never put in, and they should have been. The surfacing on the underpass and the road above it, it would be really helpful if that was some sound deadening surface that's less worrying for horses. Personally, I'd like the bakery to be accessible because it's served me all my life. And jumping along a little bit further, there's the tracks 9 and 4, the maintenance tracks on the south side of the westbound carriageway. If one could add another 200 yards, we could get a non-motorised user route along those maintenance tracks to join Camel Hill and Podimore. I understand there's a bit of a pinch point, and that a small purchase of land would possibly make this facilitate it. And I don't know how we take that forward. Do I just put it in deadline 7? And thank you very much. I will, if you've got any questions, I will happily answer them. Otherwise, I will write it all out in this deadline 7.
I think it's best if you put it in for deadline 7. Sorry, unless colleague.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Yes, does that come forward?
Yeah, I'm a local resident on the Plewyd's Corner.
Could you give your name, please?
Merrick Crawford. Okay, my concern is if you lived on the corner, you would see from...
Sorry, Mr. Crawford, which corner are you talking
Plewyd's
about?
Plewyd's Lane, which is off of the 303. The concern is when the cars come around from the Bakery direction or Spartford direction, they come around very fast and end up on the other side of the road, which I could prove that by a video. And also when the cars come across from the 303 into Plewyd's Lane, they come extremely fast. Well, this is going to increase tremendously by... The vehicles coming through West Camel. Well, wouldn't it be wise to close that road so that it's a one way? Because I'm sure there's going to be an accident because the speed the cars come around the corner. And that's something I would think that it would be a good idea to check that now rather than later. That's all I have to say.
Could I just confirm, are you talking about the north side or the south side of Plowage Lane?
Coming up from Yeovilton, turning right.
Yeah.
That would be safe, yeah.
Where there's a mobile home
park,
that part.
But if you were living there, you would see what I mean. It's just a matter of time, I think. Because when they come from the Bakery direction, they come around that corner so fast that they end up on the other side of the road. So if the traffic, if it continues your plans regarding the 303 to be closed, I mean, it's going to be absolutely chaos.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
But just one point, as a practical person, which I am, I'm not so well educated as yourselves, it's common sense to keep that 303 open from Spartford to Yeovilton. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of accidents. Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Right. Is there anything the applicant wishes to say in response to any of those? Could you positively sort it for the...
Paula McGeady of Highways England. No, thank you. We don't consider that any of those matters haven't been aired before.
So do you have any response in relation to the points just made by Mr. Crawford?
The issue has already been addressed in writing. I don't have the reference to hand. My colleague from Mott MacDonald is very happy to have a word with Mr. Crawford and help direct him to those responses if it would assist him. But we have nothing particularly new to say to you, madam.
Thank you.
We now need to wait 10 minutes just in case anybody else appears who running late. It's now, I've got the clock over there, 10 past, so we will now wait until 20 past just to make sure that anybody else appears first. Thank you.
If anyone other than the applicant wishes to leave, you're free to do so.
Thank you very much, everybody. The 10 minutes is now up, so thank you very much. And this hearing is now closed.
So we return at 11:30.